Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands with the Lord and say, Lord, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy be to your name. Worthy be to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all lift up our hands and worship the Lord. He is worthy to receive our honor and glory this morning. He is worthy to receive our thanks this morning. He is a good and mighty God. He was a faithful God. Over the last days we have tasted, we have seen that the Lord is good. He is our strength in our weakness. He is our very present help in trouble. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is everything that to us. Hallelujah. Can we just worship the Lord? Can we just praise His name? Lord, you are worthy, Father. You are worthy, Lord. We give our everything to you, Lord. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. You are worthy, Father. I pray this morning, Lord, for everybody standing here. I pray that help us to give you the glory and the honor that is worthy, Lord, that you deserve. We bless you, Father. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How mighty. He is our cornerstone. He is our help in the time of need. Wherever we have a need, our Lord is the one who fills it up for us. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your house this morning to worship you. You are worthy to be worshipped. Lord, in the midst of the difficulties that we are going through in our life journey, Lord, we know that you are a good shepherd. You will lead us to green pastures. You will lead us beside the still waters. You are going to restore even our souls. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, you said, I will be with you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. This morning as we come before you, we ask you to bless us, Lord. I pray that you bless, Father, us this morning. I pray, Father, for the tithe and the offering that your people have given. I pray that you bless them abundantly. And now as we break the bread of life, I pray that you feed our hungry souls. I pray that you speak to us directly. Father, let it not be my words. I want you to speak through me, Lord. I want it to pierce into the hearts of the people, that they will hear from you the voice of God, and they will be able to obey you, Father. We give you the glory and honor, Lord. We bless your name, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah! 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 To God be the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we remain standing, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. We have been going through the series of the book of Nehemiah. And the name of the series is Building a Life of Service. What we are trying to do is learn from Nehemiah how to move to do the service that God has for us. God wants us to serve Him. Amen. God wants us to serve in His kingdom. We need to know what we need to do. Everybody does not do the same thing. We each of us have a service that we need to understand. And so we are building a life of service. Today we are going to look at the power of perseverance. When you start to serve God, we understand that it's not going to be easy, you know, to serve God. So we are going to read a few verses here. I've not chosen the entire passage. I could have done that, but we don't have time. So we are going to look at the chapter 4, the first three verses, then move around to verse number 6 to 9, and then again drop back to verse number 14 to 18. Please follow with me in your Bibles as I'm reading this. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burnt? When Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes on it, he will break down their stone wall. Verse number 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Can you repeat after me? For the people
had a mind to work. Without getting a mind to work, we cannot do great things for God together. So the people had a mind to work, and so they built the wall to half the height. Verse number 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem was being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. They became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, can you repeat after me? Nevertheless, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. We'll jump over to verse number 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Can you repeat after me? Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Amen. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at the construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other hand they held a weapon. With one hand they worked at the construction, with the other hand they held a weapon. Every one of them builders had his sword girded at this side that he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Amen. May God add his blessings to this word. Can you shake your neighbor's hand and say, you better hear God's word this day? Can you tell them, you better hear God's word? You better hear that. Amen. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Please say your seat. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure even if they don't listen to me, they're going to listen to you. They're going to listen to you. Okay? Even if they don't listen to me. So thank God for speaking that. This morning, I just want to start with a small illustration, as I do that before. I don't know if you know this this lady by name, but her name is Diana Nadd. She is a remarkable woman. In fact, she has been a long distance swimmer for many years. At the age of 28, she tried to swim from Cuba to Florida. She tried again and failed. She failed a total of 4 times that she tried to do this great feat. You know, swimming from Cuba to Florida. Many of us cannot even swim from one side of the swimming pool to the other. And think about her swimming from Cuba to Florida. She tried 4 times, she failed up. Many people would have given it up, but not her. Finally, she became the first person to swim that distance without a shark cage at the age of 64. At the age of 64, she swam 110 miles through shark-infected waters, battling stinging jellyfish for 53 hours of non-stop swimming. When she stumbled ashore, she was exhausted, and she took the time to tell everybody, listen, I have 3 messages for you. One is that you should never give up. Number 2, you are never too old to chase your dreams. Many of us have given it up. It's in the back, put somewhere. You are never too old to chase your dreams. And third, it looks like a solitary effort, but actually it's a team effort that I've made it through so far. Amen. Praise God. I want to gather it and bring it to our work that we do. There is a great power in persistence. You know, Satan is powerful. When we start doing the work of God, I can assure you that you will start facing attacks from Satan. Satan is not going to sit silent when he knows that you have started doing the work of God. But let me tell you that Satan is no match for our God. How many of you believe that? Satan is no match for our God. You know, in the midst of whatever you do, God is going to take care of your needs. Amen. So today the point I want to bring across is, doing God's work will bring opposition and the detractors. You know, from the time Nehemiah started building the wall of Jerusalem, he started experiencing a constant attack of the enemies. Now, let me very quickly tell you how the enemies attacked Nehemiah. Please hear me out. Very quickly, I'm not going to go into the distance, but I'm going to tell you how they attacked Nehemiah. When they heard the walls of Jerusalem were built, they were, number one, disturbed. They laughed at him. They despised them with taunting words that they were rebelling against the king. When they got the report that the walls were being rebuilt, they were furious. They were indignant. They mocked the Jews who were engaged in this task. Then they became so angry, they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create a confusion. Then they called for a peace meeting with Nehemiah. We will see that in the later chapters. With the intention of harming him, they told him to come, let's meet, to kill him up. And when Nehemiah refused to meet them, they hired a secret informer to prophesy falsely against Nehemiah in order to make him afraid. And then they would flash out this news and discredit Nehemiah among all the other Jews. And then they'll send letters to Nehemiah to scare him into giving up. So, you know, the thing was, when Nehemiah stands as an example, who left his wonderful, secure, comfortable life, serving the king to go and build the temple, the broken walls of Jerusalem, he did that out of a love to do the work of God. But when he started, you know, he started facing opposition. But in spite of the opposition, one of the things I want to bring before you was, Nehemiah was firm. He was persistent. And I want us to understand, there are basically three things to consider today as you understand Nehemiah's persistence. Three things, very quickly. We don't have time. I'm going to do it very fast. There are three things that I want you to think about when you think about how Nehemiah persisted. Number one, if you look at verse number 2 and 3, you can see the ridicule that Nehemiah had to face. Look, they are gathering. Sanballat is the leader, the kingpin, the henchman, the leader, the tribal leader. He gets everybody and he says, what are these people, Jews doing? You know, how are they going? And they started ridiculing. When he heard that the Jews were rebuilding the wall, he became very angry. Who was Sanballat? You know what's the meaning of the word Sanballat? I'm sure. Please don't name your children as Sanballat. I'll tell you why. If you know the meaning of the word Sanballat, means to give sin life. The meaning of the word Sanballat is to give life to sin. What a name! He's carrying around giving life to sin, and he's the one who is getting it. Some documents say that he was the governor of Samaria. He was a man, a high official of Samaria. So what happened if Jerusalem would again become the center of Israel? It would take away his power. So he taunted the Israelites at different levels. He said, number one, they don't have the strength to finish rebuilding the wall. Number two, he said they don't have the sufficient materials to rebuild the wall. And then he had a partner. You know, whenever you go into something bad, you get a sidekick. So Tobiah is a sidekick here. Tobiah said, hey, you know what? Even if they finish, a fox can jump over the wall will come down. That's a feeble wall. You know, he was taunting. They were ridiculing. You know, Tobiah, who was he? He was an Ammonite. He was an ex-slave. He was a descendant of the children of Lot that he got through his daughter. He was a descendant of an Ammonite man. This man is also against the work of God. One of the greatest things that Satan uses against you will be mockery. He will make fun of you. If you stand up for Jesus in your workplace, in your school, I promise you, in your college, I promise you, you will be made fun. People will ridicule you because that is what Satan uses as a trick to put you down from doing his service. Don't think it's going to be easy when you do the work of God. They may say, they will even mock your beliefs. They will say God did not exist. Or, you know, no intelligent person can believe the Bible. What are you talking about? Or Jesus never existed. They may mock your beliefs. I'm telling you, that's the first one. And then they will also mock your morals. If you say you know, I don't believe in sex outside marriage. You say, what are you talking about? Everybody is doing it. What are you talking about? Or he will say, oh, homosexuality is not wrong. You know, it is an accepted lifestyle. We need to love them. I know about loving people, but we cannot love the sin. And that is what, and then they say, abortion is a woman's right to do it. You know, I'm just telling you, think about these things. This is what Satan will say. This is what the world believes, and they will mock your morals. But you have to stand true to the word of God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever people may tell you, you stand true to what God tells me. Don't move left or right. They cannot touch you. They can ridicule you. They can put you down. But they cannot, unless you are determined, they cannot, make you go back. Hallelujah. So the first thing is that, think about the ridicule that Nehemiah faced. Number two, not only the ridicule, as we come down in verse number 7 and 8, they got together to resist the work of God. When ridicule does not work out, they decided to go into a more sinister method. They built a coalition, the coalition to intimidate the Jews. So, now, look here, look at verse number 7, and they said that they became very angry, and they say they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. But this is a point that we can get from Nehemiah. What did he do? Look at verse number 9. Number 1, he did two things. If you are noting it down, you should note this. When there is an enemy attack, there are two things that you should do. Number 1, he got others together to pray for protection. Praise God. A wall of prayer. It says in verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. They did not go and try to confront the enemy. They said, God, we are going to pray that you will protect us. Number 1. And number 2, it says they set up a guard to watch out. So it's good to pray, but it's also good to set guard. You have to be careful what you have to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you that the devil knows how to play into your fears. If you go into verse number 11 and 12, you will see that. And they will say all kinds of things about you. They will make you feel afraid when you do the work of God. But you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 says, God has not given us a timid spirit, but has given us power, love, and self-discipline. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of love, power, and self-discipline. When we do the work of God, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of any attack of Satan. Nobody will come near you. I promise you, according to God's word, He will protect you. Nothing, not even one hair will be harmed without the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Because fear is always coming from the devil. Many times we are afraid of so many things. But I'm telling you, we need to take charge and do the work of God. Because the devil needs to know that we are a child of God. The third thing, very quickly. Not only that we should consider the ridicule, not only the resistance. But when we come to verse number 14, this is the turning point. Look at verse number 14. What Nehemiah did, he gave a reassurance. You know, what did Nehemiah do? He got everybody together and he told them, our God is bigger than our enemies. Something that they should understand. You know, when we focus on God, all our fears will melt away. We have to look to God and not look to the storms that come against us. You know, when Peter looked at the storm, he sank. But when David, the young boy, he looked at Goliath. I mean, Goliath was standing like tall and big and menacing. But when David saw him so big, he said, oh, you're too big. You are a good target for my stone. And he just slung the stone. You know how big the enemy is. Hallelujah. There you can do great work for God. Amen. Because David said, my God is bigger than you. Hallelujah. And he used that a good target practice to hit the Goliath on the forehead. I'm just telling you, the difference between a brave and a coward is that it's not that the brave does not have any fear, but the brave does what it needs to be done in spite of the fears. Let me ask you this. Do you believe in the power of God? Do you believe? Do you believe that He is omniscient? He is
way ahead of our enemies? Do you know that He's omnipotent? Nobody can prevail against God. Do you know that He's sovereign, that nobody can control? He's over everything. And so what happened? This is what they did. Not only He gave them a firm reassurance. This, in verse number 16, when I see that, the people still carried weapons. There was a trumpeter near Nehemiah who would warn the people that were approaching danger. So there is nothing wrong in taking measures to protect ourselves. We need still to protect ourselves, but we need to pray. And let me tell you that this is what is happening today in your life. You as a Christian in your workplace, you are a minority. There are people who are coming against you, but what you should do, you should know that our God is greater, but you should also protect yourself. And here, as we come down to the closing part of this, what I read, you know, they were building with one's hand, they were doing the construction. This is like some of our people. With one hand you drive, the other hand you text. You know how that they do? You do both. And some women do the makeup in the car when she's driving. But they were not doing all that. They were doing the construction with one hand. The other hand held a weapon. That's what you should do. When you fight against the devil, spiritually speaking, do the service of God, but hold on to God's word. For us, the word of God is the word of God. Amen. Hold to the word, but do your work. Don't let go of the word and don't run after the word. Do the work that God has put for you. But hold tight to the word, the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me tell you that persistence is the key. God the Father has great goals for us. Let us not give up on the goals that God has. And I'm telling you today, there are attacks of Satan in your lives. If you think about your own life, there are attacks, but you need to trust in God. Turn to Him. Know that our God is greater than everything. Hallelujah. Every Christian is both a laborer and a soldier of Jesus Christ. You should work with one hand and you should fight with the other. Satan has got his weapons and he's sending that arrows of doubt and disappointment and a lot of, the arrows he's pointing out your way. You know what you should do? What you should do in that case? What does it say in Ephesians 6:11? It says, put on the whole armor of God. As a child of God, when Satan throws his fiery darts against you, put on the whole armor of God, but then don't stop there. Use the word as your sword and use prayer as a backup resource. That God, Lord, you are there to help me. Hallelujah. God is there to help us in every moment, because this is what we are going through. There is another verse that I want to share with you. The verse is wrong, but 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking like a roaring lion seeking to devour. It says, resist him. Don't be meek. Don't be subdued. Don't go into your corner. Don't take him, beat you up and put you down. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. That is the shield of faith. And know that these sufferings were experienced by everybody, the brotherhood in the world. So today I want you to think about this. As we are going to be going to thinking about what Jesus did. More than Nehemiah. I truly believe that Jesus is our best example of somebody who persisted in the middle of what he had to do. Do you know that Jesus, when he started his ministerial work, he went to the wilderness. Do you know, number one, Satan tried to give him an easy way out. He said, you know what? You can command the stones to be made bread. If you want, I can give you the whole world. If you are the Son of God. He gave him an easy way because he wanted to pull him down. But Jesus said, no, I have to do the work of God. He continued that. He persisted in his work. And then you know what happened? Towards when he started declaring what he's going to do to his disciples, his chief apostle Peter told, no, God, you should not be crucified. You should not be killed. It cannot happen. And Jesus said, get away, Satan. Get away. Because it's my purpose that I should come. I should die for humanity. Today, Jesus persisted. And because he persisted, he went to the cross. It was an unprecedented time. But Jesus went to the cross for our behalf. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment?